Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Today is the last Sunday of Advent, that time when we prepare for Christ's coming. Over the last few weeks, we have heard several different things. 3 weeks ago, we heard about worshiping fully. We were reminded that Christ is the reason for Christmas, that it begins and ends with Him. We were reminded to light some candles that would remind us of Christ's presence in our home with us. And we were reminded to write down some things that were about some times when we really felt like God was part of our lives. And the Sunday after that, we heard about spending less, so that what we didn't spend on gifts that people probably won't remember in the next day or two, or certainly not the next 6 months, we could use some of the money that we saved to make a difference in the lives of other people. And last Sunday, we heard about giving of our hands and of our heart and of our words and of our time so that other people might appreciate and that their life might be made better. Today, we hear about loving all. Loving the poor and the forgotten, the marginalized, the sick, and making a difference for them. At first blush, you might say, well, we're all Christians. We love everybody anyway. But I would say, not so quick. What about those people who stand on the corner asking for a handout? What about those people who accuse you of not being a Christian when you refuse to give them money? What about those people who seem to live off the government while we all end up paying taxes? What about those people who take advantage of the sick by overcharging for the drugs that they have to take to stay alive? What about thieves? What about drug dealers? What about those people who take advantage of the poor people in this country? Those folks are hard to love for anyone. And making us a Christian does not mean that we automatically will love them. But before we go too much farther, we need to think about what does that word love mean to us. In a broad sense, we tend to think of it as some sort of romantic attraction between two people. It might be considered a strong emotion or a strong constant affection for some person. It might be an attraction between people of common interests. But you will notice that there is an emotional component to how we think about love. But that word love can also be used as in, I love my grandmother, or I love to hunt, or I love to fish, or I love peanut butter. Love can also mean a score in tennis, as in 30 love. So with that one word having so many meanings, we tend not to really grasp the real meaning of that word love in when we read it in the Bible. In the gospel lesson today, Jesus says, I have a new command for you to love your neighbor. And we assume that's some sort of an emotional connection. But is that really what he means? Are we really supposed to have an affectionate relationship with everybody? If we were supposed to have that sort of a relationship with all our neighbors, I can see that in my neighborhood that might create some great problems. So how is loving our family members different from loving people in this congregation? And how is that different from loving the sick or the marginalized or the poor or people who do and say things that really upset us? As we look in the epistle lesson for today from 1 John, that word love appears 13 times in those just 6 verses. Is Paul here talking about romantic love? Is he talking about brotherly love? What is it he's really talking about? How is it that we are supposed to love those folks? Fortunately for us, the Greek language was much more specific regarding that word love. There are three words that describe or that translate from Greek into English as the English word love. The first Greek word is eros. Eros is that sort of romantic, sensual relationship between a man and a woman. Interestingly, it is never used in the New Testament. The second word that is Greek word that is translated love into English is philos or philos, like the city Philadelphia, city of brotherly love. That word means an affection that we have with people who share a common interest. We might say that we love the people of this congregation, or we love our favorite sports team. It has an I love you because kind of component. I love you because you are part of this congregation. The third Greek word that is translated love is considered to be the most powerful kind of love. It's the love that John is referring to today. It's the love that Jesus means when he says, I have a new commandment for you to love your neighbor. That word is called agape. Agape love means there is some kind of a commitment to somebody regardless of their status or their situation. That kind of love comes from a deliberate choice. We choose to love someone with agape love. Agape love means I love you just because you are, not because of anything else other than just because you are. Agape love is more like a set of behaviors that we respond to our love with. That kind of love makes us respond in a certain way. Agape love is not emotional. It's not determined by our feelings. It's not judgmental. It's not emotional. It just is for people. It is, as I said, a conscious choice. Agape love is not brotherly love. It's not romantic love. When you love someone with agape love, there isn't necessarily any strong feeling between you and that other person. So when God commands us to love our neighbor as ourself, he is not asking us to get emotionally involved with a person or a group that we are loving. He's not asking us to feel sorry for them. He's not asking us to get all sappy about their situation. He's not asking us to take their case to the Supreme Court. He's merely asking us to make a conscious choice to care for and do for those people what we can with what they need. Loving somebody with agape love means that we do what we can for someone. When we visit the sick, the homebound, that's agape love. When we give an energy bar to a homeless person on the street, that's agape love. When we take socks and warm clothing to a homeless shelter, that's agape love. When we give a homeless person or a hungry person a restaurant gift card that they might go and eat a meal, that's agape love. Giving meal preparations to a poor family is agape love. Agape love is not about our feelings. It's more like that behavioral response that we respond to a situation. It's providing for the needs of others as we have the ability to do. With agape love, there's not that emotional component with other kinds of love. There is merely a caring for people and taking some action, providing what they need. At first blush, that sounds a little bit cold, actually. But agape love is seeing a need and meeting that need as best we can. It's caring about another person's well-being. You can provide clothing without an emotional commitment. You can provide food without an emotional commitment or becoming emotionally involved. You can give someone a drink of water without becoming emotionally involved with them. In the gospel lesson, Jesus says, love one another as I have loved you. You see, God looked down and saw the condition that we were in and saw that we needed help, and God took action. He sent His Son to be born into a poor, ordinary family way back 2,000 years ago. That Son was born, he grew up, He suffered, He died, and He rose again so that we are not condemned, but that we have eternal life. That's agape love. Agape love is a care and concern for everyone. It's love for people that we know, and it's love for people that we don't know. It's love for believers and non-believers. It's love for people we care about, but also people with whom we have absolutely no connection. It's love for the people next door and the people around the world. Agape love calls us to take some action. In 1 Corinthians, Paul describes the way that agape love works. This is what he has to say in 1 Corinthians 13. If I speak in tongues of men and of angels, but have not agape love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have prophetic powers and understand all the mysteries and all the knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to move mountains, but have not agape love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not agape love, I gain nothing. Agape love is patient. Agape love is kind. Agape love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. Agape love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Agape love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, but we prophesy also only in part. But when the perfect comes, heaven, the partial will pass away. So now, faith and hope and agape love abide. And the greatest of these is agape love. Amen. We'll gather our offerings as we acknowledge that all we have comes from God.